It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Senator Ron Johnson wants to wipe out the opioid epidemic, but he knows that in order for that to happen, we need to keep people addicted to opioids alive. That's been made all the harder with the advent of fentanyl, a synthetic opioid that skirts the law because of its chemical makeup. Fentanyl is incredibly dangerous. It generally is used to treat severe pain, especially for cancer patients, and is about 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and illegal use of it is on the rise. Senator Ron Johnson is on the phone with us this morning to talk about a bill he and U.S. Representative Jim Sensenbrenner have put forward to make it easier to prosecute fentanyl makers or illegal fentanyl makers. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the program.
Morning, Carrie. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. So this is called the SOFA Act. Before we get to the SOFA Act, I do want to talk to you about what we just talked about. Senator John McCain died earlier this week after a battle with brain cancer. He was your colleague in the Senate. What do you have to say about his legacy?
Well, obviously, the day that John passed was a very sad day. It continues to be sad. He's a presence that is going to be missed. I traveled with John McCain, you know, particularly into Europe. I don't think people realized, first of all, how tirelessly he worked, how well-respected he was around the world. I remember touring the Maidan in Ukraine. That's where agents of the Soviet Union and the former Ukrainian government slaughtered about 100 Ukrainian citizens. And as you're walking down that Maidan with Senator McCain, I mean, the adoration that is shown to him by Ukrainian citizens. He was a national hero, not only in America, but around the world, because he tirelessly fought for individual liberty, for freedom, for self-determination, understood how incredibly important our alliances in NATO, in Europe, you know, staying very close to your friends and being very, very wary of your adversaries. He was just a real force in foreign policy and a person of true integrity, a true American hero. He'll be missed.
So thank you for that. Now we're going to get to the SOFA Act, which you have put forward here. State attorneys general from around the U.S. sent a letter earlier this month urging swift passage of this act. First of all, what does the act stand for? What does SOFA mean?
Well, let me first say, extraordinary that Brad Schimmel was able to lead that effort. All 50 state attorney generals wrote to leadership here to pass this. But what SOFA stands for is stopping overdoses from fentanyl analogs. But it also stands for saving others for Archie. We named it with the same acronym for Archie Bordura because his mom, Lori Bordura, has fought so tirelessly for other people. Archie was a 19-year-old kid who died of a heroin overdose. And Lori is just taking up that charge, trying to turn her tragedy into something positive to try and prevent this with other families. So what the problem is fentanyl is a synthetic opioid. And so it's produced in a lab. And particularly in China, these Chinese labs are changing the molecule slightly to turn it into an analog. Every bit is deadly, but it bypasses our, you know, kind of slow-moving scheduling laws when it comes to narcotics enforcement. And so all this does is it would allow the DEA to turn all those analogs immediately into a Schedule I drug with all those penalties so we can actually enforce our law, hopefully prevent this ever getting on the streets, ever killing somebody. But again, you described fentanyl very accurately. It's unbelievably deadly, and it's unbelievably profitable. I read one report about $800 of precursor chemicals produces $800,000 of street value fentanyl. So you can understand why, where there's a demand for it, there will be a supply.
You know, I feel like, though, this is the same argument that we have in the gun issue, that it doesn't matter if you regulate it legally because the criminals are going to get it anyway, and they have the lucrative market. So how do you stop the criminals from making fentanyl?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's why you need to address the problem holistically. You have to address the demand equation, do everything we possibly can to convince our young people or any American from actually taking these deadly drugs. You have to try and interdict the supply. You know, this is what we're trying to do here. You also need more effective treatment. You know, really take a look at what is the best practice at treating opioid addiction, which is incredibly difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, from my standpoint of the three-legged stool, we really need to primarily devote our resources from a long-term educational public relations campaign to try and affect demand, try and convince people not to take it. That is by far the best solution to this.
So what are the challenges to convincing people not to take any opioids?
you just have a certain percentage of the population. I've studied this quite a bit worldwide. There's a certain percentage of the population that is just very prone to addiction for a host of reasons. But you know, we've been pretty effective, for example, at reducing demand for tobacco products. It's taken decades. We had to get pretty graphic in our ads. We had to really start, you know, pounding home the point that this will kill you. Take a look at what your lungs look like if you don't smoke tobacco versus if you do. So it takes a long-term effort. But we've had some pretty good success, you know, not total success, but pretty good success at reducing young people smoking tobacco. And we need to put those same type of efforts toward all of these drugs. And it's not just heroin and fentanyl, but it's methamphetamine, it's cocaine. I mean, you know, where we suppress one, the other one pops up. So it's a very difficult issue.
And where are people most likely to encounter these drugs, the synthetic opioids in particular?
Well, unfortunately, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had reports where you're seeing marijuana laced with fentanyl.
Yes.
So there is no safe drug. There's no victimless crime to this thing either. You know, I've challenged young people, you know, come down to Guatemala, you know, visit the shelters for sex trafficked little girls that are all wrapped up into this, you know, drug trafficking, human trafficking business that really funnels billions of dollars into some of the most evil people on the planet. So there's no such thing as a victimless crime when you talk about using drugs.
So I want to go to the story of this SOFA Act. You lost a nephew to a fentanyl overdose, correct?
Well, to an overdose. We don't believe it was fentanyl, but some combination. And it's a scourge. We lost 74,000 Americans to some type of overdose last year. It was 62,000 the year before. So, you know, we're not making progress right now. And that's what's so very frustrating about it. We are aware of this. The medical community is now aware of the fact that opioids are not addictive free. They're not a risk free type of pain medication. So, you know, I think we are moving toward the, you know, stopping the overprescription of opioids from a medical standpoint, but we still have a long way to go to get this under control.
And if you stop the overprescription, then that there won't be as many drugs on the market, maybe? Or has this synthetic market just kind of taken over the pharmaceutical market here?
Well, what would end up happening is, for example, somebody with real pain. I mean, and I know decades ago people were saying we were under-medicating for pain. We have surveys in our public health insurances where you actually judge your provider based on how well they're managing their pain. So we've actually incentivized this to a certain extent. And so that's also one of the problems.
We are talking to Senator Ron Johnson about a new act that he has put out, the SOFA Act. This is not the first time you've put this forward. You put it forward last year. What happened to it then?
Well, it's going through the process. You know, we also put forward a bill, the PROP Act, promoting responsible opioid prescriptions. It was so common sense that the Center for Medical Services, CMS, they govern Medicare, they just enacted it as regulation. The same thing's to a certain extent happened here, where DEA is attempting to use this through regulation, but we really do want to codify this. And again, I can't thank Attorney General Schimmel enough for taking his leadership. This is unbelievably unusual. I think it's only happened with one other federal bill where all 50 states' attorney generals signed a letter to Congress saying, please pass this bill. And that was Brad Schimmel's leadership, because he's been really involved. You know, Wisconsin's been a real leader at trying to address this whole opioid and overdose addiction. But again, the fact that it's hard to make progress just shows you how difficult the problem is.
So you've introduced this with Representative Sensenbrenner, so it has a possibility of going through both houses of Congress. Where does it stand now? Has it been scheduled for any sort of vote?
Well, we're going to be putting together, I spoke with Chairman Lamar Alexander of the HELP Committee. It's under his committee's jurisdiction, together with Senator Grassley under the Judiciary Committee. So you have multiple committees' jurisdiction. I spoke to both those gentlemen yesterday. I think both of them are very supportive of it. There are some other bills that do something similar as well. We just need to get, you know, all those bills put together. In some way, shape, or form, we're going to be passing a larger opioid type of package to, you know, address a number of different issues. It might get included in that as well, in hopefully just the next couple weeks.
We have a phone call here. Bernie from Elkhorn, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Senator, I suggest that you reevaluate your approach. You mentioned about the victimless crimes. What law enforcement needs to do is go after the sex trafficking and the violence. When there was alcohol prohibition, there was a lot of violence. If you want to take the powers away from the cartels, you legalize their product, and hard drugs like heroin you treat as a health issue. Several countries in Europe have done this. They give the people job training, psychological counseling. They make the drug legally available, and they've had tremendous success in lowering opioid use. And
okay, I've got to stop you there because we're running out of time a little bit here. He brought up a couple of things that I find interesting. One is that you treat it like a health issue, and the other is you legalize it. What do you have to say to both of those?
Well, I'm one of the few members of Congress, as chairman of the committee, that actually held a roundtable where we had that viewpoint together with the entire range, the entire spectrum of how to deal with this issue. So I have a very open mind in terms of what is going to actually work. And in manufacturing, the way you solve a problem is you gather information, do a root cause analysis, try and define it properly. So what Bernie's saying, there's certainly some validity to it, but there's also validity as well to that could be pretty dangerous. So I've got an open mind. I'm looking at anything that can start turning the corner on all this addiction. And let's face it, this has been around in societies for millennia.
So what do you say about treating it as a health issue rather than putting people in prison for opioid use?
Well, again, I think the people put in prison are the drug and sex traffickers, the people that are making the hundreds of thousands of dollars off this that really are engaged in true violence. And on an individual basis, I couldn't agree more. People that are addicted, oftentimes they're addicted because they were put on a 30-day prescription, and this addiction is incredibly hard to kick. That's what we were kind of talking about earlier in terms of our medical community now has finally come to the realization that opioids are certainly carry a lot of risk of addiction. So we're really reducing, for example, just a 3-day supply to get them by the main pain and then switch them over to Tylenol or to ibuprofen or something like that. So
right.
Medical community is definitely getting educated, and that's going to be part of the solution here.
Ron Johnson is a Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He's the chair of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and he serves on the Foreign Relations Committee, Commerce, Science, Transportation, and Budget Committees. He introduced a bill called the SOFA Act that would close a loophole in the law that makes fentanyl, a highly deadly synthetic opioid, worth exploiting. Senator Johnson, thank you for being with us today.
Have a great day.
It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.